And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 20th day of October 25. And it's a nice, cool morning. It says 41 degrees in the studios. Outside, that is.
Outside.
Yeah, not inside.
Inside, it's not.
If it was really that cold in here, we would have to turn the heat on. So, but anyway. But we got Brother David Tucker in with us this morning, Brother Joe Barner, and good morning,
good
gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
How y'all doing?
It is a glorious day. It's going to be just that perfect weather.
Yeah.
And we've had a little bit of rain, which has kind of greened things up a little bit.
Yes, just a little.
To kind of help with that dry world.
Mm-hmm.
And I love fall. Fall is just like the best time.
I do too. I just love it, really. I really do. But now, what about storms? Did y'all have any storms here in Hopkinsville roll through? Because if anything come through Elkton, I don't know, because I was asleep.
we had power blips,
really?
That went on and off, and
okay.
I had just chainsawed like a whole day on the property, and then yesterday I went out and began to walk the property and found three more trees.
My God.
Okay.
So it was sort of a,
well,
guess we'll do it again.
Do it again. Might as well.
Do it again.
You know, got nothing better to do but chop, you know, saw
hey,
some trees.
You know, any day is a chainsaw day is a good day.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. I'm not as big on mowing grass as I used to be, although I do enjoy it.
Sure.
But, you give me a chainsaw, I'm a happy guy.
Now, Brian and I talked about you on Friday.
Oh.
Because we were talking about the bronze serpent in the wilderness.
Ah.
We were talking about snakes on your property.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
and there's only two kinds. Only two kinds.
Dead ones?
That's right.
And
the ones I haven't
yet.
Found yet.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. I'm sure they have purpose in this world, just as there was a purpose for the serpent in the garden. But God said, let's crush them. And I'm all on
there. There you are.
I'm good with those. So,
oh, man.
I will tell you, I saw, and this was not this weekend or this last Friday, but maybe 2-3 weeks back, I saw a bass and a water snake tangle with one another. I'm not sure who started the fight, but I watched them have a very quick a round of fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And then they both decided it was best to swim away.
Swim away.
Because neither one could eat the other, so it was time to just sort it out and go on.
There you go. There you go.
Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to actually continue our series on how to find the church, how to find the right church biblically for you and your family. And what does that mean? People talk about church shopping all the time,
mm-hmm.
and when folks are church shopping, they usually have a list of things that they're looking for that are more personal than biblical.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is we want to talk about what biblically should I be looking for when I decide it's either time to move from the church I'm in to another church somewhere, or when I'm looking for a church in an area that I've just moved into.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find that right church scripturally?
Sure.
And so that's what we're going to gear into, and we're going to do it through Mark chapter 2.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Nahum 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. J. Vernon McGee pointed out, Martha believed in a resurrection, but listen, it makes less demand upon faith to believe that in a future day you will receive glorified bodies than it does to rest now on the assurance that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's easier to believe that the Lord is coming and the dead will be raised than it is to believe that tomorrow I can live for God. It is easy to comfort people who are mourning and say, well, you'll see your loved one someday. It takes a lot of faith to say, I've just lost my loved one, but I'm comforted with the assurance that God is with me and he does all things well. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just a real positive influence to keep our mindset where it should be and focused on God and loving others.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Carathon may be over, but the impact you've made is just beginning. Your generosity is reaching far beyond what we could have imagined, and we're so grateful.
But the journey doesn't stop here.
If you weren't able to give, don't worry. You can still jump in and make a difference today. Head over to our website at missionary.radio and help us continue bringing light and hope to others. Together, we've got this.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, your Christian community radio station.
So we're talking about church shopping today, or trying to find, select the proper church for you to be a part of. And as we're talking about that, the simplest idea is to, you know, look for the building you like, the people you like, the music you like, the children's programming that fits your family, the schedule you like. Some folks will change churches just because they want to go to a different time service.
Sure.
And those are all things that need to be considered. I'm not saying you don't consider them at all. But I'm saying scripturally, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Scripturally, what is expected? Not just what you want, but what does God want you to be doing in the church? And so there's a passage of scripture, I think, that kind of helps gear us towards that. And we've been, as we're going to be doing this series, we're going to be walking through basically four terms of your journey with Christ, your Christian journey. So it's revelation, salvation, regeneration, and then sanctification. And last week we talked about revelation, that we have what are called seeker churches, where the whole demeanor of the church is made so that if you want to come, you'll feel like it's not that big of a change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But actually the term seeker church is coined by Christ, and that is you're supposed to go out and seek and save the lost. You're not supposed to wait for them to come to you. You're not supposed to make a building with which you can try to gather them up in a net. You're supposed to go out and hit the highways and the byways. He says, go to the places where folks are not. The invited folks don't want to come.
Sure.
So go to the folks you haven't invited and go invite them. Go talk with them. And so the church is supposed to be a revelation of God in this world. And as such, we're supposed to represent him in society. Now today, we're going to talk about salvation. The purpose of the church is salvation. And the reason we're going to talk about it is because you cannot fulfill the Great Commission, go ye therefore in all the world and make disciples, until you have had them meet Christ.
Yep.
You see, we're all disciples, but as church members, when I say make disciples, Joe, who are we disciples of?
Disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So the people in your Sunday school class are not disciples of Joe Barner.
Well, I hope not.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to be sure. So when he says go and make disciples, he's not saying make people who are going to follow you, make folks who are following me. Well,
yes.
How can they follow him? Well, he's a resurrected living God.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to introduce him to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what salvation is.
It's kind of what the Apostle Paul said, you know, be followers of me as I am followers of Christ.
That's exactly right. No question about it. Excellent. Excellent reference. I didn't think about that. So today, I want us to take a look in Mark chapter 2, and I want us to see the emphasis that Jesus places on the salvific ministry of the church. And so there in chapter 2, if you would, Joe, read for me verses 1 through I'm going to say 9.
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk'?"
So he's going to heal him, and he's going to get up, take his mat, and walk. We know that's going to take place. That's verse 10. But the thing that is interesting to me and has always fascinated me is that they dig through a roof to get this man before Christ because he's lame.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Jesus does. When they lower him down to be addressed, the thing that Jesus does is not heal him, but...
Son, your sins are forgiven.
Exactly. He heals his soul. And this is a critical point of the church. The church is a revelation of God. In other words, it shows the ministry of God in this world. Just like Jesus, everybody knew that he represented God. Nicodemus came and said, "We know you have been sent by God." There was no doubt about who was identified with Christ. So there should be no question about who is identified with the church. Whatever church you're looking at, there should be no question about that. But beyond that, the church has a singular purpose, and that is salvific. It is spiritual. It is not financial.
Mm-hmm.
It is not ministerial. It is not healing. All of those things do take place within churches. There's no question about that. But the priority on the spiritual far outweighs the physical. And I don't think that folks understand that with the church today. A lot of folks are looking for a church that's going to meet their physical needs. In other words, is it pews or chairs? Because I really prefer chairs. I don't want to have to sit in a wooden pew. Okay, well, God bless you. I'm so happy for you. But the purpose of the church has nothing to do with your bottom. Mm-hmm. It has more to do with your heart.
Yeah.
And so if that's where you're making your decision, you need to think some things through. Well, I want to know whether the children's ministry program is age-graded and appropriate for each of the children that I have. Well, I'm all about family discipleship. I've
sure.
got no problem with that. But the first question you need to be asking is, do they spiritually see people saved? Do they spiritually see people meet Christ and have their life changed?
Mm.
Is their focus there? Sometimes you'll meet folks and they'll say, "Well, I got church hurt because I went to the church when I had this need. It was a financial need. It was whatever, and church didn't help me," you know. And you say, "Oh, well, I'm so sorry. I guess that church wasn't the church."
Mm.
Yeah, it was, because your financial need is actually not the purpose of the church.
Mm.
And now, as I'm saying this, I know that there are going to be some folks that are going to be a little frustrated and upset because they think the church is supposed to be doing good in this world. Charitable things should be a part of what the church does.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. In fact, we do that at Second Baptist. However, that's not why we exist. We don't exist to do charitable things.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we address the spiritual first. So let me give you a quick example of that with kind of the hierarchy of ministry within our church, okay? So the first level of ministry in our church is what we call charity. And charity is something that doesn't require much on our part as far as investment goes. And so we have a blessing box, and mm-hmm. our Sunday school classes take turns putting food in the blessing box.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who are homeless, folks who are short on food in their house, you can watch them see the folks pull up to the blessing box, and as we put the food in, they're already calculating how fast they're going to get there and pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very simple process. But there's no real engagement there. That's just charity. It's just charity. And yes, it's a part of what the church does. but it's just charity. It's not a priority. Moving from there, we have a benevolence committee. Benevolence committee will work with people one-on-one as they address physical needs. Now, here's the thing. When we work with benevolence, you have to be connected to the church in some fashion. Now, Blessing Box, you don't have to be connected at all. Benevolence, now you're starting to get connected, and we're going to be able to do more for you, and we're going to be able to assist you more because we're better connected to you, and that allows us to bless you more because what we're going to be doing is pouring spiritually into you while we're pouring in financially into you. And so our church is involved in benevolence, but not in the same way that we do the Blessing Box. And then lastly, we have what I call investments, kingdom investments. And that's where we know that we have an individual who's trying to grow in their Christian walk, and we're seeing them grow in that relationship with Christ. And we have our ministry house. And our ministry house is a two-year program where we bring people in, and they literally pay a rent. Half that rent is saved, and at the end of those 2 years, that amount of money is then handed back to them after they have been tutored by us, counseled by us, blessed by us. For 2 years, we invest in this couple or single, whatever that individual is, so that they will be able to move on in their journey with Christ. That's not the same thing as a Blessing Box, because it's spiritually more impactful. So when we get back, we're going to talk about how we keep that priority within the church. But first, we want to take a moment and just hear from some folks who have a real blessing to give, and that is folks who wrote to Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Nebo, thank you, Missionary Radio, for your ministry. May God bless you for your service to Him. Praying for you. From a Clarksville couple, hi, we're still listening to Dr. Cook early mornings and shows and music ministry and songs of praise. God bless. From Elkton, thank you for all you do for Jesus Christ. Also from Clarksville, may God keep on blessing you for at least 45 more years.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
So we've been talking about how do I choose the church, or how do I find the church that God wants me to be a part of. And normally folks are making that decision based on their personal desires or emotional feelings and things like that. But we're looking at it scripturally and saying, biblically, what is expected of me? What church should I be a part of? And so far, we've really been talking more church universal, not denominationally. But we are talking in terms of local congregation. As you're looking at the local congregation, whatever denomination might be, there has to be a revelation of God, the scriptural truth of God in this world. So we know that that's part of it. Then there has to be a salvific impetus within the church. In other words, a goal and a drive and a desire to see people saved. If a church does not have that, if it's not the heartbeat of where the church is at, then, there's no point for that church to be there. The point of the church is to bring salvation to this world, to offer the gospel to others. And we see in Mark chapter 2 this beautiful picture of the local body of Christ, the local church. This was a max capacity in the worship center that night. The house was so full, nobody else could get in, right? And there were some folks who still wanted to get their friend to Jesus because they knew in Jesus there was healing for whatever this person was going through. Mm-hmm. And their anticipation was it was physical. So we have folks who come and they're a part of a addiction recovery and they come to our church. And so folks who see them come in, they say, well, you know, it's a part of the addiction recovery. That's a part of what they're doing. We're not there for addiction recovery. We're there to see them get saved.
Sure.
We're there to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, no, I thought the addiction recovery is really super important for them. It is, just like being able to walk was important for the lame man.
That's right.
Okay? But when Jesus looks at the lame man, the first thing that he does is he says, son, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what he was thinking, you know, being lowered down in front of Christ in the midst of that giant crowd and expecting, perhaps, regular church. In other words, I'm going to go through the community ritual. I'm going to go through the traditional process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through this stuff, and maybe I'm going to get to walk. And what Jesus does is he looks deep into this guy's soul, and he says, your sins are forgiven. And the guy was not ready for that.
Mm.
He literally is blown away.
Yeah.
By the fact that Jesus just identified that his biggest issue was not walking.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest issue was he had a handicapped soul that was bound in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus did that, what kind of freedom came across that guy? What kind of smile came across his face?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the guy felt the impact, the spiritual impact of that forgiveness, because the Pharisees took offense to it. That's how we know. They took offense at this man responding, mm-hmm. because their statement is, who can forgive sins except God? Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're looking at this guy on the mat who's suddenly been washed over with this peace, this beautiful peace. And he's got this smile and tranquility, and he clearly has forgiveness, and the Pharisees are disgusted. Mm-hmm. He really thinks that Jesus forgave his sins. He really thinks that Jesus was able to do that. We can't have that. Nothing ticks off a Pharisee like somebody who's no longer under judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they look at this man, and then they look at Jesus, and they say, how dare you? How dare you? Meanwhile, the four friends, I am certain, are in complete dismay.
Oh, yeah.
Because they dug through a roof and they placed their friend in front of Jesus on a mat. He's lame. He ain't walking. And Jesus doesn't say a thing about limbs and feet. And so they're all going, hold up. That's not why we brought him to you. He can deal with his own sins.
Yeah.
We want him to walk.
Yeah, there's so much layers under this that we don't know. The
mm-hmm.
scripture doesn't tell us. It said that Jesus saw their faith, and I've often wondered, did that fellow say, friends, can you get me to Jesus?
Oh, that's a great question.
I believe if you can get me to Jesus, that he will heal me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the forgiveness of sins was just a wonderful bonus.
In mm-hmm. his mind, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until he received it.
That's right.
You know, but the other part we don't know is what happened to the roof.
Exactly.
That's what I was wondering. I've always wondered. I said, did they fix the roof back after it was all over?
But
there's no HGTV.
But was this man, was he protesting the whole time as he was being carried to Jesus and carried mm-hmm. up on the roof and lowered down?
Right.
Watch it, brothers. Watch it, brothers. I can't walk.
Right.
Well, if we drop you, it's not going to hurt you.
can't break what's already broke.
But if the man was saying, can you get me to Jesus?
Right.
You know, that would be a wonderful truth as well.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And I will say it needs to probably be a biblical truth in that you can't force healing upon someone who doesn't want to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite on topic, but I think it's important to state because I've talked to too many folks that struggle with, well, I want this for this person, but they're just not receiving this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you can pick up a lame man against his protests and make him walk or make him carry him to Jesus, but you can't really heal, force the spiritual healing that we talk about. I love the fact that they dug through the roof. They had such intentionality to get there. So in my mind, Joe, and this is just conjecture from one man to another, but in my mind, that man wanted to be there because the forgiveness comes when our heart is ready to receive it, when we get to that place. The process is one that perhaps they were hoping to see him healed of that lameness, but that's not what they saw, because Jesus said, no, there's a priority to what I do. I heal souls. Limbs and legs, that's temporal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important. No. Now, we make it important, but it's not important. Mm-hmm. Souls are important.
Yes.
So when we're talking about trying to find a church and what kind of church do you want to be a part of, you need to be talking about the concept of salvation. And not just is the preacher baptizing, are you joining a church that's going to encourage you to go out and witness? Are you joining a church that's going to tell you, hey, we need to be a revelation in this world and we need to be providing salvation to this world? Are you going to a church is going to be commissioning you, not simply to sit and soak, not simply to be a part of the country club atmosphere, not simply to be there for the casserole dishes and the potlucks.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to join a church that is going to push you and ask you to become more of that witness of salvation to others?
And a church where you will encounter the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
In a personal way.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And so that's going to be the priority that you want to place as you're being drawn to God. What you're looking for is not all the accoutrements. You're looking for Jesus, and you're looking for that healing that comes through salvation. When we get back, we'll continue talking about this priority and how we can determine whether the church has that priority. But first, we need to hear from Johnny Erickson Tada.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tada, encouraging you today with Proverbs 3, verse 27. I keep a list of girlfriends who live with quadriplegia. I pray for them, I'm inspired by them, and I learn a lot from them. I'm thinking of Becky, one friend who broke her neck way back in the late 1970s. Although she is what I call a pro at living with quadriplegia, it's not without its big problems. Earlier this year, she developed serious breathing issues and could not sit up in her manual wheelchair. Every time she did, Becky got terribly dizzy and felt like she was gasping for breath. And so my friend had to be bedridden for more than 3 months. One morning when I was texting her, she said that she wished she had a power wheelchair that could recline, so that she could still sit up, but also have the capability to lay back with a touch of a button. When I read her text aloud to Ken Tada, he looked straight at me and said, "Well, Johnny, you've got a recliner wheelchair that you're not using. Why not loan it to her?" I knew he was right, but I thought about the long distance we'd have to drive to deliver the reclining wheelchair. It would take our whole Sunday. But that's exactly when Proverbs 3, verse 27 came to mind. It's a verse I learned way back in high school, and it says, quote, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." Let me say that again. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Proverbs 3 emphasizes the importance of generosity and helping others when you have the ability to help, whether it's with your money or your equipment, or your time. It's a call to be proactive in your service and generosity, and to not delay or neglect opportunities to do good when they arise. It's a reminder that we should not delay in treating others in need with kindness. James 4, verse 17 says pretty much the same thing. It says, quote, "If anyone knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them." Ooh. Well, it goes without saying that on Sunday after church, Ken Tata put my reclining wheelchair in the van, and I squeezed in right next to it in my chair, and off we went, the long two-hour drive to Becky's house. When we arrived, her caregiver transferred her into the power wheelchair, and after making a couple of adjustments, it fit perfectly. I cannot begin to tell you how good we felt on the way home. And imagine if we had withheld that specialized wheelchair from her when it was in our power to make a difference. Had we just let it go and not helped her, it would have been a form of sin, according to James. And Ken and I certainly did not want that on our eternal account. So, oh, dear God, all the many times you convict me or tell me or show me how I can help someone when it is in my power to do it, please give me the courage and the joy to move forward and make a difference. Oh, by the way, Becky's breathing problems are much better, and she benefited enormously from that recliner wheelchair. In fact, she's going to go ahead and purchase one. And Ken Tata and me, well, we will be making one more trip down to where she lives to pick up that chair, because I'm not too far myself from using it. So pray for Becky, if you would, that her breathing, like mine, will continue to improve. And look for ways that you can put Proverbs 3, verse 27 to work in the lives of the people that you know. And God bless you as you do from all of us at johnnyradio.org. And again, that's johnnyradio.org.
The What an Awesome God Carathon has come to a close at What an Awesome God We Serve. To everyone who prayed, volunteered, and gave, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Your generosity, your prayers, and your partnership mean the world to us. Because of your faithfulness, Missionary Radio continues to proclaim the truth that the world needs King Jesus. But maybe you meant to give and time just got away from you. Good news, it's not too late. Every gift, large or small, still makes a lasting difference in keeping Christian Radio strong and reaching hearts every day across our region. Carathon season continues, and you can give safely and easily online at missionary.radio. Just click donate or call us at 877-885-9655. And of course, you may mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, let's keep declaring to a world in need what an awesome God we serve.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Good Monday morning. We are talking about the searching for and finding and then serving and staying in a good local church. And how do we know to do that scripturally? We've discussed the fact that the church is the revelation of God, and so the church should be finding you, not just you finding the church. It's supposed to be the image of God in this world. But the second thing we're talking about is that the church is a means of salvation for those in this world, and that's the priority of the church. The priority of the church is not to do a community service. Mm-hmm. The priority of the church is to do spiritual service unto God. The community service and all those things that come around it, those are wonderful, but they are not the priority, and they must never be substituted for it. So what does that then mean as I'm trying to look for a church that is going to be the church where I'm supposed to, you know, engage? If you're a believer and you've been saved and you're looking for a church, this element, salvation of it, is going to look this way. It's going to mean you're going to be a part of a church that is focused on seeing Jesus to the degree that you don't mind disruption. In other words, if salvation is the focus, then everything else becomes secondary. The comfort of the sanctuary, the structure of the classes, the traditions of the institution that you're a part of, all of that becomes secondary. When these guys bring their friend to Jesus to get forgiveness of sins, whether that's what their goal was or not, they may have been there hopefully to see him be able to walk, but he gets wonderfully, beautifully forgiven of all sin. And the only way they're able to do that is to disrupt the status quo. The status quo was everybody who could see Jesus was already there. So the place was packed and nobody else could get in. Nobody else can see Jesus. It's just too crowded. I'm sorry. It's just not your day. And tomorrow's not looking good either, you know?
But these fellows wouldn't take no for an answer.
That's right. Exactly. And so what they do is they disrupt what is foundational, quite literally, by digging through a roof and creating a giant hole in a home. And I think, Joe, you asked the question, I want to know what happened to the roof, you know? After it's all said and done.
It's not the essential issue of the story, but it
it
piques your curiosity a
Absolutely.
Little.
Well, it was the first century skylight. It was the very first example of a first century skylight. So after that, it was
and maybe,
the rage.
And maybe the formerly lame man came back with his buddies and worked on a roof.
Worked on a roof.
Climbed
the ladder and went up there and fixed it. But the main thing is that the standard process was not enough to see salvation. This is really critical, and this is why I wanted this passage to be used. The standard process was not enough to see salvation, so what do? Well, you go past the process, the standard, as it were. You break stuff to make sure that salvation is a part of what this church is about. And so, if you're in a church and you're not seeing salvation, what you need to ask is, well, what do we need to break to make it happen? What do we need to dig through to make it happen? So let's just use a simple example. There's been two churches I know of that have recently closed their doors. They just did not see salvations, and they did not see people coming, and eventually they die. And the reason that they die is not simply because, well, this generation's different or whatever else, the music's not right, blah, 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 blah. The reason they die is because people aren't being baptized and saved in that church. If you're seeing people saved and baptized, your church is going to stay alive. You may be the smallest church. It might be 10 folks. But if you continue to see people get baptized in that church, then that means those 10 are going to be 11 and 12, right? Or even if you're sending out 10 people a year, but you're seeing 10 people baptized a year, you're still going to be a church in that location. But if you're not seeing births, then death is coming. That's just a part of the way church works. And so it's not about being the right social club. It's not about being a part of the tradition and institution of this fine building or whatever. It's about seeing people get saved. And what do you need to do to help them get saved? So speaking for ourselves, because I can't speak for other churches, but speaking for ourselves, we have Upward Basketball, where we bring in kids from all sorts of places in the community. Some are in church, some are not. And we teach them basketball. And I've got folks who are in their 60s and 70s who are out there running the court as referees or coaches, you know. And it's not their kids that they're working with, because their goal is not about teaching some kid basketball. Their goal is to see kids get saved. And they don't always get baptized in our church, but they do get baptized somewhere. So there's life being given somewhere, and I think God will continue to keep our doors open as long as we continue to see those new births. Just yesterday, had a young man come up, and his mom was behind him, and she said, he's got something he wants to share. And he walked over. He says, I got saved this week. I said,
I heard about that. That's awesome.
Amen.
And so we're looking forward to seeing him baptized, yeah. You know. What we want to see is those salvations. Mm-hmm. And whatever we have to do, then that's what we want to do. So on a Sunday night, we have open gym for youth and adults. And we have guys that come up. They literally walk up from the neighborhood and they play ball. And we have other guys that drive in from the county and they play ball. And you say, well, you know, it's Sunday night and we have Sunday night church service. Clearly, the more godly thing would be to have them over in the sanctuary because this is not church. They're playing basketball. That is blasphemous. It's not. One is Kentucky, and I think the only thing second to God is basketball. But the reason that we do so is because they do a devotion every week. Mm-hmm. And so the other week, quite literally, I was talking with Brother Robbie, our youth minister, and they'd had a couple of guys getting a kerfluffle.
Yeah.
And we said, hey, that's not what we do here. We're going to shut it down. And he did. He shut it down. And he said, everybody can just head on to their home. If we're not going to play with a heart that's right, we're not going to play at all. And they said, you know, well, that's fine. But a couple of them said, before we go, can we still do the devotional?
And there you go.
Said, yes, we can.
There you go.
Everybody gather up. Let's do it. And so he's sharing the gospel in that regard. Is that normal church? No, we dug through the roof. We broke normal church. Now, I still have normal church. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of folks over in the sanctuary, and we're doing church as usual.
Yeah.
But we'll break all sorts of roofs if we need to, if we can get one more person to know Jesus. And so as you're looking for your church, it needs to be a place of revelation. It needs to be a place of salvation.
Yeah.
Because until you have seen God and committed your life to God, church has no value for you. That's where it all begins. So this week, as you're thinking about, man, I wonder if I need to get back into church, find you a place that speaks and has the image of God. Find a place that speaks of the salvation of God. And then go and dig through the roof. Get to it.
There you go. Well, thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.